If you'd like to follow along, we're going to look at Psalm 98, Psalm 98, verses 1 through 9. And this passage talks about new songs for our great God. We sang one song that talks about new songs throughout Scripture, throughout especially the Psalms. This comes up very often. And the idea for me is this, not that the old songs don't count, because they do, but God's in the process of transforming our lives, and if we're just open to it, we'll have reasons to celebrate. And so that's why new songs would be appropriate. It's telling God's praise in a new and fresh way. I'm going to look at new songs for our great God. Once in a while, I try to imagine what some of the ancient musical instruments that David talks about utilizing in the Psalms, what they must have sounded like, and what it must have been like to worship among God's people, among the Israelites. It is so interesting that when they thought of God, the people of Israel, their first reflex was praise. I'm not sure that's my first reflex. Very often, our first reflex is requesting. Our first reflex is what we want. But praise is something quite different. It's the recognition of the power and tenderness of our Creator. Praise enjoys and celebrates God's love, and it's our best attempt to feel or to say or to sing something appropriate to the one that we love. Praise doesn't ask, "What have you done for me lately?" But instead it says, "How great thou art." It's a complete getting out of ourself. But that's sometimes difficult. Still, Israel praised. Praise is our amazement with God's greatness, our recognition of the power and tenderness of God. Praise enjoys and celebrates God's love, and it's our best attempt to feel and say or sing something that's appropriate with God. Psalms scholar Walter Brueggemann explains praise this way: all of life is aimed toward God and finally exists for the sake of God. Praise articulates and it embodies our capacity, listen to this, our capacity to yield, submit, and abandon ourselves in trust and gratitude to the one whose we are. That's what praise does when we are involved in it. We have a resilient hunger in praise to move beyond ourselves. Praise, then, if you think about it, doesn't work. When we think of things working, we're looking for effects. And very often we're looking for the benefits, the personal benefits of something. Praise is something quite different. Praise means that we're there for God's sake, because we love this one. It's a relationship. It's part of the intimacy and joy of the relationship. It's being awestruck by God's beauty. It's, if you think about it, praise is downright wasteful. It doesn't accomplish anything for ourselves necessarily, but if you think of God like a lover who you might spend lots of time wanting to be with, to be next to enjoy their company, then we have a better sense of what praise is all about. Let's take a look first at some occasions for new songs. In these verses, we'll hear three things, and I'd like to read them for you right now. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. And he's remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the lyre. I That was an interesting flip of words, wasn't it? The harp and the lyre, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn, shout for joy before the Lord the King. So that's a beginning and opening to our psalm here this morning. We look first at God's deeds. Notice the past tense in these opening words. He has done marvelous things. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness. He has remembered his love and his faithfulness. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of God. When we look back at the past and see what God has done, we have kind of what you say, the fodder of praise. The occasions that God has been lifted up, shown himself to be great and mighty and committed to his people. Meditations like this can run from clear back to the beginning of the Old Testament through the New and even into our present day. All that we believe to be God's work can be part of those songs of praise. It takes time to reflect and to remember. There are many times in scriptures that word is repeated. The word remember is repeated 177 times. Fascinating. Why? Because we tend to forget. We tend to forget. We don't occupy ourselves with the character and the majesty of God, and then what sets in? Worry, anxiety. We become critical and crusty. When we remember, we live better lives. When we remember the sense of God's presence and what God has done in our lives, we do better. That brings us up to the present, not only in the past, but God is here in the present. The things that happen in our lives, just like we're celebrated here this morning, are part of the new songs. Your song, your song, your special song to God. And those are the things that we should celebrate daily. I really appreciated the idea of the God hunt, looking for places in your life where God is at work in your life. It's really good to sometimes sit down and chronicle those things, just to note them and periodically review when God is in your life. It holds you in good stead in those difficulties of life when you wonder, how can I trust? How can I be a trusting person in these circumstances? And then God's deeds in the future. Many believe these words were written, the Psalm 98, were written in anticipation of the Messiah. And it's a wonderful psalm. And if you compare the Magnificat, or the words of Mary, when she found out that she was going to bring into this world our Savior, they're very close. And to follow along here, I'm going to ask Grace if she would come forward and sing or reflect with me the comparison between what David says and what Mary says. Okay? I'm going to use that microphone there. Sing to the Lord a new song.
My soul glorifies the Lord.
He has done marvelous things.
The Mighty One has done great things.
His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him.
He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts.
The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations.
His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation.
He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel.
He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful.
Thank you. The parallels are striking. It's as if Mary had been pondering this song when she spoke these words. As Mary echoed these words, they look forward to the coming of Christ, her own yet unborn son. And because they're so all-inclusive, they look forward to Christ's second coming and his undisputed reign over the universe. Again, new songs are born in our hearts when we anticipate God doing something in the future. In fact, this activity of reflecting on God's deeds, both past, present, and future, is kind of like the process of a child being born. Meditating on God's deeds in the past might be compared to conception. Something in our awareness recognizes a work of God. And then looking for God's involvement in our present nurtures new songs in our heart. And that gives us reason to hope for new works of God, to anticipate his intervention in our lives and in the lives of others. Hope like this also looks forward to the birth of a brand new day when we see Jesus face to face. It may be in heaven or at our death, or it may be that some in our generation will see him in his second coming. We just don't know. Every generation should live as if he were coming. That hope provides a new song for every generation to sing. And there is, like I say, a kind of birthing process, reflecting on what God has done, what God is doing, and what God might do, births hope in our hearts. Now, let's take a look at a second thing, the accompaniments of praise in this song. And here is going to introduce the scripture text. A little volume on that, maybe? Huh. Okay, so much for technology. Let's read the text then. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people with equity. He starts first with voices, which is our ready-made instrument. You can carry it around with you. You don't have to pack it around. It isn't like having a lot of gear. You just simply use your voices. They use shouts here, and it's very interesting. You've probably heard of shouting Baptists or shouting Methodists, things of this nature. But very often there was the word amen was said in the praise of Israel. Amen means so be it, so it is, truly, this is truth. And it was something often said at the close of like the reading of scripture or an important point or when something resonated with people. Amen. And that is a constant, not only remembering, but affirmation of the truth. There are times when truth is not just a concept, but it is a life-changing, life-steadying influence. When Ronnie spoke this morning, she spoke to us out of experience. What she said has great weight with me. This is her song with God. It's a powerful song. It isn't armchair theory. It's something being lived out today. These psalms include our voices, expressions. When you look through history, you look around, music has always been the language of love. When human beings want to express their love to each other, to their sweethearts, to their friends, they often reflect about the meaning of that relationship. They write down their thoughts, and they put it to music. The relationships help us value the relationships. The reflections help us value the relationships. The music helps us express it. The reflections help pull into focus the meaning of our relationships. Music's help us say it with meaning, to say it the way we feel it, to say it with our minds as well as our emotions. Music has always been the language of love. And then there's these instruments that he invites everybody to take up, the harp, the trumpets, and the blast of the ram's horn. We're going to try another little reflection here. Well, technology is very interesting. Can you try to advance that up there? Guess what? It's not going to happen. So let's go to the... Oh, great. Wonderful. Here's some pictures of musical instruments in biblical times. Over here on the left is the harp, and on the bottom row, and then the lyre. And you can see these modern replicas were actually taken from old coins. They know what the biblical instrument looked like from the stamp that was on these old coins. And then over here on the right are what are often called cymbals. These are the large cymbals. These actually were tuned to two notes, so that when the Levites slammed them together, I don't know how they did this, because they developed their ear, but that was the tone for the singers to begin singing with. It's how they tuned in to where the music started. So there were two notes in these, one and then another. And then a kind of horn, and the thing that looks like musical spoons are also called cymbals the word is translated cymbals in scripture. The round thing is a drum, and then over on the right, trumpets down below, and the shofar or ram's horn was also played in these musical instruments. Now, we'll see the kalimba or marimba. The one on the right is a picture of something I brought back from Malawi. It is called the kalimba or mbira, actually. Mbira. I think the one down here on the far right is from Kenya, and that's called the mbira, and kalimba is from Zambia and Malawi. It's also called a spoon piano. Can you see why it would be described that way? So interesting, in scripture and all time, when people's hearts overflowed because they were reflecting on God, they just wanted to sing about it, wanted to play some kind of instrument, so they make instruments. Some of those very basic, the harp and the lyre and the drum and the trumpets, and all of these things are very simple things that you could make. It doesn't require electricity, so you don't have any technical problems like this morning. People take up the simplest instruments. You can see sometimes these are made with bicycle spokes now. And they have beautiful, beautiful tone that comes out of it. Not when I play it. I've done it a little bit. But let's see if this time it'll work. Oh, good. Any music. There we go. Thank you. pretty cool, huh? But that's what people do when they're full of joy. They've been reflecting on what God has been doing in their lives, and it wants out. It just simply wants out. So both the song that was written and the words that were written and the time that went into the fashioning and practice of the instrument itself are things that reinforce the message in the heart of the person who's the worshiper. And sometimes it takes that kind of thing for it to soak in and actually transform our thinking and our emotions enough to make a real difference in our lives. When you can't afford anything else, then you could probably make this. You could see it's basically spoons and a piece of board and a couple of pieces of iron. Instruments give us another opportunity with which to express the creative side of our being in worship. I believe that one of the things that it means to be created in God's image is to be creative in this way. To use that God-given capacity to reflect deeply on God's works, both past, present, and future, and to explore ways to sing what's in our hearts. Music does it. Listening to music sometimes, you see, not everybody can do that, but we can listen to it and appreciate it. David were here to say, he might say, make music to the Lord with whatever is available to you, if it's an organ or a piano, if it's trumpets or orchestra or keyboard or voices or bells or children's kazoos or even pipe hand tambourines. Take it up, make music with it to the Lord, shout to the Lord, our King. Then there's creation. Creation is another thing. It says the sea and everything in it. They're so powerful, the sea. There are booms and roars and crashings and breakings and crestings and lappings. I remember a friend talking about sitting down, listening to stuff like this going on. And I said, how'd that go? He said, it was great. And he said, I think that probably will last me another year. I was so impressed with the absolute power of God. I think that's probably going to do me for another year. He lived in Kansas and visited the Northwest. So thus the thing. But you can see he got the message from observing God's creation. The rivers are talked about in this passage as well. The rivers, it talks about let them clap their hands. And it, sort of at a distance, you can see water going over rocks and in different ways, and it may look like they're actually clapping together. We also have the mountains as well. The mountains declare the praise of our God. The mountain ranges might look like a choir. A thunderstorm might sound like, as it goes around, thundering around the mountainsides, like great praise. I remember walking around a Trillium Lake up by Mount Hood one summer, and it was such an experience. You've probably all had that, but the air just almost shimmered. It was almost electric. Everything was still. There was this nice, cool breeze. There was Mount Hood up in the heights of the scene. Reflected also in the lake as well. It was just a moment where it just seemed like nature was giving it up to God in all her glory. Trees of the field are talked about in Scripture as clapping their hands for God. In the winter, it may look like hands held high. In winter, like hands are raised in rapture. In spring and summer wind, they look as if they're waving pom-poms. And the different seasons seem like they just change their pom-poms, the color of the pom-poms, as they give praise to God. What do you see when you look at nature? It could be just a magnificent scene. But when your heart is full of rejoicing, you may see more things like David saw. In these moments, with a full heart, David invites all creation to kind of a pep rally. And Grace and I are going to read a hymn of creation together. Want to come on up? Okay. A hymn of creation that we got right here, if you want to just stand here with me. Here's the hymn of creation. Our God is Lord of little things, a butterfly with lacy wings, a frog that hops, the bird that sings, a baby's smiling face. Yet on creation's morning bright, God formed the moon and sun for light, scooped up a million stars of night, and hurled them into space. Would you join us on the next two? Okay. Great, God is so great, and we so small, and yet he sees the sparrow fall. His loving care is over all who call upon his name. We cannot grasp eternity or understand all we see. We only know that God will be forevermore the same. And then the third verse as well. He calls his children to his side. His arms enfold the heavens wide. His hand controls the ocean's side and waves upon the shore. He thunders through his mighty word, and yet his still small voice is heard. He sets in flight the tiny bird and makes our spirits soar. Thank you. Creation is often our cue. There is a reason for new songs, finally. The reason for new songs is that we have the fairest judge we could ever hope to face. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people with equity. I don't know how that sounds to you, the word judge. But would you note the way it's phrased here? It's phrased utterly positively. Take a look. The rivers are supposed to clap their hands, the mountains sing for joy, and then sing because he comes. I think there are times that we begin to get it. I think the people of Darfur get this. I think the people, some people in Iraq and Afghanistan get this. I think any time you've experienced injustice that just sears you at the core, you begin to say, justice, judgment isn't such a bad thing. There's also this side of things. I mean, if anything needs corrected, then there's someone who's going to do it. That's the point I'm trying to make. If there's wrong, there is someone who will make it right, eventually. There's also the sense that you couldn't get a fairer shake from this person. It used to be, when I heard verses like this, that I got a little terror spot down in here someplace, because I was conscious of my absolute neediness before God. But it's not supposed to be a thing of fright anymore. Those who've beheld the Son, Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for them. And that this one who comes to us will judge in a way that's perfect. God, the fairest person we could hope to stand before, whose character is a perfect blending of both righteousness and fairness. Now I understand it differently. His perfect fairness that caused fright or cringing fear in me turned to holy awe mixed with grateful love. Praise is our best counter to the evil in our world. If we are lost in wonder, love, and praise, it'll help us with perspective. If we are lost in wonder, love, and praise, it will also affect our lives. We are not likely to fall into gross sin when we constantly keep the face of the Lord before us. If that fills our vision. The word amateur is a person who engages in some art, science, sport, etc., for the pleasure of it rather than for money. It is from the French amer, to love. The word amorous is also from that same root word, to love, or to be full of love. We don't have to be professionals to have a love of God in our hearts. Songs have always been the language of love, and these don't have to be highly musical or even musical at all. We're invited to take over whatever instruments we have. That may be a pen or a pencil, and give praise to God. To shout with joy to the Lord. Voices are part of what we have available to us. These new songs, even for those of us who are not musically inclined, can be rejoicings, praisings, overflowing in our relationship with God. I'd like to ask Grace if she'd come and lead us in a closing song. And as she does, would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we realize that there are times we have just simply missed you in the madness of our days. We have totally forgotten you. We get so engrossed in what is, maybe in the injustices or the hurts, the offenses that we've experienced, that we are swallowed up in ourselves. For this we ask your forgiveness. We realize there are greater things, wholesome things, beautiful things to set our minds on. And that would be you in all your glory. Help us to love you more fully. We want to give our hearts to that end.